I'm Marco Werman. You're with The World. A long time ago, January, in a galaxy that for many seems far, far away, the U.S. Congress, President Trump told us this in his State of the Union address.
Toyota and Mazda are opening up a plant in Alabama, a big one, and we haven't seen this in a long time. It's all coming back.
The president said we haven't seen expanding auto plants in decades, but that's not true, especially in Alabama. Alabama's auto sector has taken off, and it's been happening over the past 25 years. It's now the fifth largest state for auto manufacturing, and thanks to German and Asian carmakers, the boom continues. Here's The World's Jason Margolis.
25 years ago, Alabama was known as a place to make textiles and apparel. Nobody thought of it as somewhere to build cars. Then the state lured the German automaker Mercedes-Benz with $250 million in incentives, a jaw-dropping offer at the time. Former Congressman Joe Bonner was at a University of Alabama football game shortly thereafter.
And they pulled the big drape off the Mercedes star that had been affixed in one of the end zones. And there were some boos. State officials were being introduced. And there were some people who thought we were crazy and had given the farm away.
Today, those state officials might feel justified in the high price tag to lure Mercedes. Since then, the state has lost 88% of its textile economy, 82,000 jobs. Auto jobs have replaced some of that. Roughly 40,000 people work in Alabama's automotive sector today. Besides Mercedes, Honda, Hyundai, and Toyota have operations in the state.
So at Toyota Motor Manufacturing Alabama, we are currently producing 3,000 engines a day. Those go into 5 of the 10 vehicles built in North America.
Toyota spokesperson Kim Ogle showed me around the plant in Huntsville, which opened its doors in 2003.
And today we have grown from 300 employees to roughly 1,400.
It's a huge, sprawling factory, a highly sophisticated technological assembly line. But during our interview, I noticed boards lighting up and music playing over the PA system, Beethoven and Bach.
So what you're hearing, the music that you're hearing, is specific to an operation.
It's a way for employees to communicate across a loud, expansive factory. Playing Beethoven might mean it's time for a supervisor to perform a quality check. The Indiana Jones theme song could signify somebody needs help. In a few years, Toyota and Mazda will add more music and some 4,000 more employees at their joint operation. To lure the Japanese automakers, state and local governments again offered incentives, more than $700 million in tax abatements, promised infrastructure improvements like a rail spur, and land for a factory. Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle defends this practice.
You know, tax incentives are nothing more than an investment. In my business world, I would invest in a business and then expect to make money off of it. This is the same thing. We invested in this business.
These are non-union jobs. Still, the average salary at the plants is expected to be $50,000. And Battle says all those salaries could support 10,000 more jobs.
Person who might work at the drugstore, work at the grocery store, maybe build them a house or something.
There are critics writing op-eds saying that local taxpayers are again giving away too much money. But consider this. Alabama's incentive package was actually kind of modest. North Carolina dangled $1.5 billion in incentives for Toyota and Mazda, roughly double what Alabama offered. A Toyota corporate spokesperson said it chose Alabama because of the location, infrastructure, and quality of life in Huntsville, and the local workforce. They come ready for the job with help from the state.
These stations simulate the movements of the various jobs at Mercedes.
Leon Gilbert and Yvonne Crenshaw showed me around a training center next to the Mercedes-Benz factory in the city of Vance. Gilbert and Crenshaw work for AIDT, Alabama's workforce training agency. AIDT regularly visits factories in other countries like Germany, then helps recreate German training back in Vance.
We've been partnering with Mercedes for a little bit over 20 years. This is a simulation that they're setting up right now. We set it up in conjunction with Mercedes because we wanted to make absolutely sure that our processes fit what they really wanted and what they wanted to, their employees to look like.
Employees like 22-year-old Cody Nichols. He'll soon be employed repairing Mercedes. He started with classes at a local community college.
automotive classes, engine breakdown. You had a brake class, learning brake dynamics.
Then he transferred to Mercedes-specific classes on site, earning $16.50 an hour while training.
Now, inside the plant, we have more specialized tools that we get to use.
German tools?
Yes.
Can't say anything more?
No, I can't divulge any more of that.
Mercedes will need more skilled workers soon. Last year, the automaker announced a $1 billion expansion to manufacture electric SUVs in Alabama. Despite Alabama's recent successes, economist Dave Swenson at Iowa State University says Alabama hasn't tapped into some secret formula. States across the nation routinely partner with companies to create customized training programs.
It's not unique. It's not unique to Alabama. What Alabama, though, is probably doing is basically patting themselves on the back for being responsive and having very good feedback, i.e. their students are getting hired into industrial jobs that have, you know, they're relatively good jobs.
But he says if we go into a recession, taxpayers may get angry, asking, why are we paying to train workers for a specific corporation that's not hiring? Swenson adds that in the South, there's a much bigger draw for foreign automakers that rises above all else, cheaper labor.
Initially, half of the propensity to move plants was to escape union contracts and to take advantage of non-union right-to-work states.
Union folks up in Michigan see southern states and non-union wages as a race to the bottom. Steve Sewell in Birmingham views it differently. He's with the Economic Development Partnership of Alabama, a business-funded organization that works to attract industry to the state. To him, it's not about a competition between Alabama and Michigan.
I don't see how it can hurt anyone when we attract foreign investment to the United States that creates jobs. They're making contributions to not only our economy in our state, but to the nation's economy as well. They're exporting products worldwide, so they're a contributor to the U.S. economy.
Alabama shipped nearly $8 billion worth of autos to 88 nations last year. And Sewell and others argue that the state's car boom has helped lure other foreign manufacturing to Alabama, from Australian ships to European airplanes.
The automotive industry and the success that we've had in economic development has probably done more to address misperceptions about Alabama and the image issue of Alabama, that the state might be a backwater or a more backward state. It's demonstrated that we can be a global competitor.
And if Alabama continues to land foreign contracts, maybe the state will get another mention in next year's State of the Union. For The World, Jason Margolis, Huntsville, Alabama.
Jason's story is part of our 50 States Project. We're taking a closer look at how communities in the U.S. are being affected by globalization. If you have an idea for a story for our 50 States coverage, send us a note. We're at pri.org/50 states. That's 50 states. Tell us what's going on in your corner of the country.